Well, our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 will serve as our text this morning. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 reads as follows. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Let us get our full context beginning in verse 22. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, in the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Having been arrested in Jerusalem and narrowly escaped a plot against his life, the Apostle Paul is sent to stand trial in Caesarea. This is commonly known as Paul's third defense, that is, his defense not only of himself, but of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of his resurrection from the dead. It took place before the governor, Felix. We've read here that Felix had a more accurate knowledge of the way that is Christianity. He had a more accurate understanding of its teachings than Paul's Jewish accusers had supposed. They were counting on his ignorance, that the governor might simply take their word for it. Felix understood that Paul was not guilty of sedition against Rome, but rather he was proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and that he was risen from the dead. There are two responses to this. One can accept it as true, or one can deny it as false. The Jewish establishment in that day denied it as false and further considered it blasphemy. For it was well reported, and the words even came out of the Lord's mouth, that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. The Jews should have recognized the King of Glory, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Yesterday, the Orthodox Jewish community celebrated Yom Kippur, which translated means the Day of Atonement. This was one of the prescribed high holy days that we read of in Leviticus chapter 23. Under the Old Testament covenant, the children of Israel needed to go to the temple year after year, and the high priest would offer sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. And under the old covenant, this would need to be done year after year. But this Jesus offered up a sacrifice. Himself. One sacrifice, once for all. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And what God hath taken away, no man might reapply. Felix's knowledge of Judaism and the way, let me explain by way of background here, the way was considered a sect or an offshoot of Judaism, not a separate religion. So when we're reading through the book of Acts, it's helpful to understand that Christianity was simply considered one branch of Judaism from of old. Just as we would consider Baptists or Roman Catholics a branch of Christianity today, so too Christianity was considered a branch of Judaism back in that day. Now his knowledge likely came from his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. We read this in verse 24. She was ethnically Jewish, but not in practice. Ancient sources agree that neither Felix nor Drusilla were particularly moral individuals. But nevertheless, Felix, having enough information to know that the Apostle Paul was innocent, and there being no evidence to the contrary, Felix procrastinates and he doesn't make any decision on Paul's guilt or innocence. At least not officially. So he puts Paul under confinement with privileges, but he does not release him for fear of his accusers. Now to put this in today's terms, that would be as if somebody was arrested for some offense by, the state police or the local police department, and they were brought into court, and they were arraigned, and the judge went through the arraignment, and he says, "Well, I'll come back to you when I have time." Doesn't make a verdict, and lets the guy stew in intake for 2 years. This is basically what's happened, to put it in today's understanding for you. Not to give justice is an injustice. And Paul, who is innocent of the charges, would experience injustice just as his Lord had done. Just as the Lord was treated, so too his disciples are treated. And this is a true saying even to this day. In our sermon proper this morning, we're going to take verse 25, our text as it comes to us. Let us note first that Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Secondly, that Felix was afraid. And third, that Felix sent Paul away until, quote, a convenient time. Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. The governor, it appears from the context, was seeking a bribe, not the gospel. We read this in verse 26. He was waiting to get some money so that maybe he would be induced to find a way to get Paul released. But Christians don't operate that way. Worldly people don't understand this. Worldly people don't understand how Christians operate, nor could they be expected to. So Paul offered what Felix needed, the gospel, not what Felix wanted, a few extra dollars on top of his millions. Note what things Paul reasoned about. He reasoned about righteousness. Now there are two kinds of righteousness in the Bible. The first is holy living, unto which believers are called. Now, was the governor a believer? Well, certainly not. We can be sure of this from the context. And so this is not the sort of righteousness that the Apostle Paul would be speaking of here. The second kind of righteousness we find in the Scriptures is the righteousness in the sight of God that is made possible by the work of the Son, namely, the gospel. Felix was dead in trespasses and sins. The Apostle Paul understood this well. He wrote it. He knew that Felix needed the gospel. So he spoke after this manner to the governor. For he made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. What's he mean by that? All of your sins and mine were cast upon the body of the sinless Son of God, so that they might no longer be upon us. That God, in his divine omniscience, might look down and see us as holy and blameless. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what he's done. Self-control. The need to discipline and order our lives under God. This begins with the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength.